This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Every week on KPFT-FM, expand your mind.
Explorations airs Thursdays at 1, right here on 90.1 KPFT Houston.
It's no exaggeration to say that George Kinder is the father of life planning, a burgeoning area of counsel that generally is integrated into existing financial advisory practices. I'm a financial advisor, an investment manager, a wealth manager, call it what you want. And over the course of 2 days in October, I participated in a small, intimate workshop with Kinder and found myself and my practice transformed. I came away believing that Kinder's ideas and methods, life planning, has profound implications for the country and our culture, because it presents the possibility of people living happy lives, unburdened by flawed conceptions about money. Whether your ideas about money are your own, come from your parents, or from our own money-obsessed society, Kinder's methods can help gain personal wisdom and insight. On this special edition of The New Capital, George Kinder, guru to a new breed of financial advisors through his Kinder Institute and the author of The Seven Stages of Money Maturity, makes a rare appearance to discuss money, spirit, and life, and how one should best think about them. I'm Leo Gold. This is The New Capital Show. Back in a moment. Welcome back to the New Capital Show. I'm Leo Gold, your host. A pleasure to be with you this morning, 10 a.m. Thursday, New Capital Show, newcapitalshow.com. You can go to the website, add yourself to the mailing list. Also, 6:30 p.m. Thursdays tonight, Channel 17, Houston Media Source. I think you have to have cable for that. But if you have cable and you live in the Houston area, Channel 17 is the New Capital television show. We will be rebroadcasting this radio show tonight on Channel 17. We're going to get straight to it, straight away here. My guest today is George Kinder. It is a pleasure to have George Kinder with me. George Kinder divides his time between Cambridge, Massachusetts, and Maui, Hawaii. He is a CFP, a certified financial planner. He leads his seminar, The Seven Stages of Money Maturity, in locations all over the country. I am also proud to say that George Kinder is a teacher of mine. George, welcome to the New Capital Show.
Leo, great to hear your voice.
It's great to hear yours as well. How have you been?
I've just been great, and it's a wonderful privilege to be on your show.
Thank you. What I would like to do, we're going to take calls today, George, after you and I talk for a few minutes, and what I would like for people to do is to imagine their financial lives and their lives. And I'd like to take calls today, not so much asking you about what you do or what the process is, but I'd like for them to sort of engage in the process. Would that be all right, do you think?
That'd be fabulous.
So that if any listeners out there would would like to kind of get a taste for what life planning is about, think about your lives, think about your financial issues, your life issues, and then when you make your call, basically you'll go under the microscope. You're publicly on the radio. This will be kind of like, what is it, Dr. Laura? I think it's Dr. Laura. It'll be like a Dr. Laura show. And the number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. George, let's get straight to it here. Do we have a money problem in this culture, in our culture?
Well, you know, I think it's very interesting. I listened to your wonderful synopsis of my work to lead into the show, and this question of what are we missing in life, and how does money have to do with it? I think we use money as an excuse for all the reasons that we're not doing what we really want to do with our life. And I think that's fundamentally what we're addressing in life planning, is we look at what does a person most profoundly want to accomplish, what gives them most meaning in their life, and then looks at how the money has played a role in not allowing us to move there. And sometimes it's money, sometimes it's time, but as Ben Franklin used to say, time is money. And we figure out in life planning, what we do is we find a way to inspire the client to actually live the life of their dreams. What is it they really want to accomplish? Who is it that they really want to be? And we find a way as well to strip away all of the money excuses. So in a way, I think that money is a problem. We could analyze it societally and say, well, gosh, we're too attached to it, we're too materialistic. But those are just kind of philosophical arguments that don't get you anywhere. They're bull sessions. What gets you somewhere is, in fact, confronting how you're buying into that. You know, one of the wonderful things is we all say, oh, it's such a materialistic culture when we talk to each other, and we're thinking about everybody else but you and me. But in fact, it's all of us that are caught in it.
So the problem that you're defining is that people tend to put themselves second. They tend to put their own lives second to something else, whether that's cultural notions of finance and money, or material, or some other standard. But am I hearing that in your comment that we don't put ourselves and our own lives front and center in our own thinking processes?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely correct, and it's very subtle, Leo, because some of the polls are dear and tender polls. For instance, the poll to educate our kids, to have the home that our spouse wants, or the vacations. The problem, it's not that those things are a problem. The problem is that we haven't weighed all the different ways that we spend money against what it is that we really want out of our life. And when you do that kind of balancing, that kind of weighing, some surprising things emerge that, in fact, give us the promise and the possibility of real and genuine freedom and authenticity in our lives.
And so this idea of life planning, this whole area of life planning, I said that you're the father of it, and that's to my understanding that is the case, but it came out of your own financial advisory practice. You developed these concepts while working as a financial advisor.
That's correct.
And you felt that there was something missing from your practice of giving advice.
Well,
help us understand how it is that we made this, or that you made this leap from financial advisory to this more robust model called life planning.
Yeah. There are a couple of things. One is that it actually came out of my personal life as much as out of my relationship with clients. In terms of clients, I was trained as a financial planner to ask the traditional questions about what kind of house do you want, or do you want a second home, or what kind of vacations do you want to take, when do you want to retire, how do you want to educate your kids. And none of the questions were really looking at the person sitting with me and saying, What really juices you in life? What really excites you? What is it that you would feel that you profoundly missed if you didn't accomplish in life? Those are the real questions that money is meant to address. Money and meaning should be married, and that's one of the things we're doing in life planning. So what happened with my clients was that they'd surprise me. They would tell me the things about retirement and kids' education and their home or whatever, and then suddenly out of the blue they'd completely shift what it was that they were doing. They might not have the resources to, in fact, accomplish the dreams that I thought they had. And the reason was that something else was much more important to them, and it had never come out in the conversation.
Your book is called Seven Stages of Money Maturity. Seven Stages of Money Maturity. It was published, I don't know, a few years ago. You give several case studies in the book that really help a reader understand what an example of life planning that might be, but also examples that might help them understand what's going on in their own lives. Can we do one of those case studies from the book, maybe one that comes to the top of your mind, and help people understand how problems around money develop and can be resolved?
Sure. Is there one that comes to your mind, Leo? It's actually been seven years ago. So one doesn't come quickly to mind. I'm thinking in some way that my own life is an illustration of this. As I mentioned earlier, I had a we have an exercise.
Well, great. Let's go through it. There are a few in here, but let's go through you.
Yeah, that we have an exercise in the book that I think really gets to the heart of what a person cares about and what they want to accomplish. It's called the three questions.
Mm-hmm.
And the first question is, if you had all the money that you needed in life, how would you live your life? And so we encourage the client to really dream and come up with all the things they'd love to do, have fun doing. The second question gets more serious. If you only had 5 to 10 years left to live, and you're going to live it healthy, but sometime 5 to 10 years from now, you're just going to keel over. The question is, what then would you do? You know, we're getting down to what's really much more important to you. And the third question has the most profound bite to it and really gets down to bedrock. And that third question is, if you suddenly discovered you only had 24 hours left to live, what did you miss? Who did you not get to be? What did you not get to do? And that question tends to get right at what it is that a person is yearns to accomplish, what it is that's most important that they accomplish in their life. And there are often things that are not addressed in a financial plan. I can give an example from myself, but they fall into categories. They have to do with family or with relationship, perhaps healing a relationship with one's son or one's daughter or one's spouse. Sometimes they have to do with, I think the second most common category has to do with spirit. It may be that someone wants to live a more deeply spiritual life or wants to live a life of greater integrity. And the third most common category has to do with creativity, that someone wants to play the guitar like Eric Clapton or write the great American novel. These are the most common. The others that come up quite frequently are giving back to your community and giving back to the environment.
So generally, we don't hear a lot of, I'd like to have 15 yachts and 20 houses and more and more and more stuff.
That's exactly right. And that's the dilemma. That's the perplexity. That's why life planning is taking off so powerfully in the financial planning community, because we're finally realizing, gosh, this is what people really want. It's not the yachts. It's not necessarily even the homes. There's a quality of life that is so important and that money has a great deal to do with.
You mentioned the financial planning community. I took part in one of your workshops recently and was very, very influenced by it. And one of the things that you described in the workshop was that the book that you wrote, The Seven Stages of Money Maturity, that you were expecting that it would have a lot of impact on the end user audience. That is, just average people who go into bookstores and purchase books. But in fact, it had its largest influence among the financial planning community, the financial advising community. And in fact, that community picked up, has run with the book, and this really is your focus now, is to train the trainers, as it were.
That's right. This really stunned me. I thought that the consumer, the end user, as you put it, would be the one who would be really excited about the book, learn from the book. And the last person I thought would be really excited about it was the financial community, because I think I held many of the stereotypes of the financial community that the general public has, that there's a certain level of greed or just not the consumer interest that is not the first interest of financial people. I think that was a bias that I felt as well. And what I found instead was that there was a tremendous, and there is a tremendous feeling within the community among the very good people who are doing the work of financial planning to really care about who the client is, that it's actually a caring profession.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be that this doesn't say that the stereotype that we had isn't something to watch out for and to be careful about.
Which is what? Describe the stereotype of, we're talking Wall Street and brokers and this kind of boiler room type idea, is that right?
Yes, I think the stereotype is the famous joke about yachts, that the broker takes you down to the bay and shows you his company's yacht and shows you his own yacht, and you go, well, but where are your clients' yachts? And they're not there. And so the notion is that the advisor really is thinking pretty much mostly for him or herself, and really out for the money. And what surprised me was that there was a powerful group of leaders in the financial planning community who really cared absolutely first and foremost for their clients, and were disturbed by the kinds of questions, by the kinds of concerns that I was beginning to wrestle with my own clients, in that they would come in and as we really held serious conversations, they'd talk about their family or their creativity or their spirit, and gosh, we didn't have a context to put it in. We didn't know what to do with it. And that was one of the reasons that I then wrote the book, was to find a way to contextualize what is our normal experience around money, and how can we find a way to marry meaning and money so that it no longer stands in the way of what we want to accomplish in our life, but in fact funds it.
You are listening to the New Capital Show. I am Leo Gold, your host, and my guest today is George Kinder, who is the founder of the Kinder Institute, the author of Seven Stages of Money Maturity, and you have a new book for advisors out,
yes,
George, is that right?
It's called Lighting the Torch.
Lighting the Torch, which really is what you want those who go through your training to do for their clients, to light the torch of life for their clients.
Yeah, so in fact, there's a particular methodology that we use, and actually a moment in a relationship between an advisor and a client that we call the Lighting the Torch moment, and it's where the client just gets really excited and goes, yes, why didn't my broker talk to me about this? Why has no advisor ever talked to me about this in the past? This is exactly what I want for my life.
Mm-hmm.
We call it Lighting the Torch.
713-526-5738. We'll be taking your calls for George Kinder, 713-526-KPFT. If you would like to talk with George, you know, about money and life, give us a call, and we will like I said, we won't put you under the microscope. We'll just have a discussion. That's what we do. 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. George, one of the things that you talk about is the influence that our parents' beliefs about money have on us. This is fascinating to me. I find this, now that I employ some of your methods, I find this to be very often very revealing about a client. Explain to people how it is that parents' ideas about money get transmitted and how they go on to influence our lives.
Yeah, it's really interesting because parents' ideas we either tend to accept and believe and work with, we assume their values in a way, or we rebel against their values and we choose the exact opposite. And it happens time and again.
So no middle ground. It's either we accept everything they say about money or we reject everything they say about money.
There's definitely a tendency for there to be no middle ground.
Uh-huh. And this middle ground is the place you call maturity. That is maturity. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The messages from our parents, as wise as they sometimes are, as foolish as they are, they're always incomplete. The world is much more complex than a simple or simplistic message around money. But we take those messages because money is a dark and dirty subject, much as we might have thought of sex in the old days.
But even more than sex, you've pointed out.
Yes. I think in a way money is a more intimate topic because it's something that we have much more trouble talking about with another person than even our sex life. And so there's a coming out of the closet in terms of our money life that is terribly important. But the thing that happens with those messages is that we assume a way in the world, and it may be that let's say we want to write the great American novel, and that's really our passion, but we carry these messages that we can't do it because we're supposed to be responsible in a particular way or to a particular person. And it's a message that we either took from our parents or that we gathered from rejecting our parents, and it gets in the way of seeing clearly what's most important for us to accomplish while we're alive.
And the process that you train advisors in is to help clients get through those notions to a more mature place. and understanding their relationship with money, whatever it may be.
Yeah, and it's very important to distinguish the work from therapy, which is a very different kind of process. The focus in life planning is on exactly what your dream is. And in the process of articulating the dream and beginning to light the fire to go for the dream, these obstacles come up that may be opinions or beliefs or judgments around money that block you from, in fact, moving forward. And so we find a way relatively quickly to dispel those obstacles by really focusing on how exciting it would be, how fulfilling it would be to really live the life of your dreams.
George, we've got some calls coming up, but before we get to them, one more question. Is life planning something that only wealthy people can do, or is it not?
That's a great question. You know, I was at a meeting last night. We are designing right now a workshop for the underserved, for whether it's working class or people who just don't want to work with an advisor or people who can't afford it. And we're designing something to work with groups that is either no charge at all or very inexpensive. It's important for all of us to fulfill our lives on this planet and to live the life of our dreams, to live a life of authenticity, of integrity, and of genuineness.
Great. Let's take our first call of the day. We're going to take Sarah's call first. Sarah, welcome to the New Capital Show. You are on with George Kinder.
Hi. My question is, I've read a lot of books about financial saving and accomplishing your dreams and whatnot, and I'm 27, and my main question is, you know, I haven't finished my college degree, and I get caught up working, just trying to pay the bills. And I'm an artist, and I have dreams, and I have goals, but I find that just getting caught up in the everyday, you know, responsibilities, that those dreams seem so far off. And I was wondering, I hear that you help people who don't have as much money, but basically, where does a person start then when they are just in the day-to-day living and those big dreams seem so far away?
George, let's help Sarah.
This is wonderful, Sarah. I've mentioned so far in the program a number of times my own situation, but I never really described what I was talking about. But from my teenage years, I wanted to write an illuminated manuscript. I wanted to be an artist, both a visual artist and a writer or a poet. And I'm now 58 years old, and it took me 40 years to complete, and I'm just completing, and it'll be out in March, that manuscript, that illuminated manuscript, which is a work of Photoshop and my photography and poems and put together as a long poem. And it took me 40 years. And the reason it took me 40 years was that I didn't have somebody by my side, basically a life planner, cutting through all of my messages of responsibility, of things that I felt I had to do to be a responsible person or citizen or husband or whatever. And someone who said, no, all those things are important, yes, but what's most important is to, in fact, fulfill your dream. And as a consequence, I spent 40 years kind of slowly getting there. It's useful to read the books that talk about the dreams and everything, but I think a real person who's on your side and really inspired by your dream and encouraging you to move forward with it is what we all need.
Thank you.
Sarah, thank you for your call. 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. This is the New Capital Show. I'm Leo Gold, your host, and my guest today is George Kinder. George, you're joining us from Cambridge, Mass. today, is that right?
Yes, from Littleton, Mass.
From Littleton, Mass.
Further out.
How's the weather?
It's actually wonderful here today. We're practically 60 degrees. It's like a breath of spring, but it's one of those false breaths that you know the winter's going to clamp down on you pretty soon.
Yep. Let's take our next call of the day. Next up is Jack. Jack, welcome to the New Capital Show.
Thank you. I don't know if this is an appropriate question, but what is the simplest or best way to protect yourself against a falling dollar?
Yeah, you know, it's not exactly a question that, from a life planning standpoint, but it's a very important question from a financial planning standpoint. And of course, one of the ways is to invest in international, have a good diversification in your portfolio into international stocks or international mutual funds. And that's certainly the way that I've done it over the years.
Or international bonds too, Jack.
Absolutely.
And any holding in a foreign currency that is appreciating versus the dollar is going to have whatever its base return is plus an additional currency return. But remember, it's a double-edged sword. If the dollar appreciates versus those foreign currencies, then you'll have your normal return cut into. Nobody knows exactly where currencies are going to move. It's a very, very volatile market. But George is exactly right. International securities are a way to go. I'm sorry, George, I cut you off.
No, that you did. You finished the answer just beautifully. Thanks, Leo.
Would you say in the short term or medium term that the dollar is inevitably falling, or like you say, it's hard to say.
Jack, is this for George or for Leo, or for either?
Or for either of you.
George, what do you think?
I think it's really hard to tell. I mean, there are many more dollars out there than are necessary if we weren't the world's currency. But as long as we're the world's currency, the dollar is going to continue to have some strength to prop itself up, basically. So, but one of the things that I have believed in for the longest time is that it's so difficult to predict that, and you can get lost and bet this way or that way and get whipsawed by your guesses and ultimately lose money as a consequence, that the best thing to do is to have a widely diversified portfolio that has some of your assets in the foreign securities so that you know that you'll always have some protection.
Okay, Jack, so diversification.
Thank you.
Okay, next up is Bob. Bob, welcome to the New Capital Show.
Thank you, Leo, and good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Say, I've got kind of a complex question here. Is it Mike?
Who?
The guest speaker?
George.
George. Hi. I'm sorry, George. What's your opinion on, are we still in a risk of a deflationary monetary society?
Bob, we want to know about you.
Yeah.
Tell us about you. Tell us about your money issues or where you want to go and what your dream in your life is, and all that other stuff will come next.
That's okay.
I want to focus the show on life planning today. Maybe we'll do a show on international economics later, but right now we've got the man in the entire world on life planning. So let us help you plan your life. Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I'm a healthy plan, and we met last night, Leo.
Uh-huh.
That's at your meeting last night.
Great.
But, the thing that's helped me the most is that when I graduated from college the first time, I decided that I wanted to retire at 55, and I made that one of my life goals, and I focused my economic life around that goal, and I was able to do that at 55. Now now I'm in a position where I have an income, and I've been able to focus on how to protect that income or protect that nest egg and grow it. And so that's why I was asking that question about how to determine a deflationary society and all that. So in my own book, I've been very successful as far as managing my economic life up until retirement, and now then I've got I'm thinking about how to go from there.
George, what about the three questions for Bob? Is that possible?
Yeah, I don't know whether Bob would be open to it, but life planning, it starts with who you are, who we are individually. So Bob, the it would start with like, for instance, the goal that you had to retire at age 55, that's a wonderful goal. I would have worked with you if I were working with you when you were younger with something even more personal than that and more precise than that, which is not what do you want to do when you're 55, but what's your life about? What do you really want to accomplish in your life, period? And 55, it might have been 52, or it might have been some other number, but the number is not so important as it is that what you really want to accomplish is accomplished. And what you're focusing on, what I'm hearing in your question, is a focus on, well, once I know what I want, to accomplish, then how do I do it? And that's a very important question. But first of all, I've got to know, if I were to work with you, who you are and what you want to do. So I would ask you the three questions. The first one being, if you had all the money that you needed, what would you do with your life?
Right. Okay. And
what,
I think,
Bob, what do you think? What would you do?
If I had all the money that I perceived that I needed, I know what I would do, and I would become a performance level musician, and I would become a writer.
Wow. Well, wonderful.
Wow, fantastic.
What instrument?
My main instrument is the guitar, and my secondary instrument is 5-string banjo, but not bluegrass. Bluegrass has become the kind of the kudzu of banjo, and so I play an old-timey style banjo.
Fantastic, so, Bob. That's so wonderful.
Well, listeners, I want you to understand what just happened. Bob called with a question about deflationary currencies, and we got into retirement, and then George asked him the question, if he had all the money in the world, what would he do? And after digging through Bob for a few minutes, we've gotten closer to the heart of Bob's passion, which is performance level musician and becoming a writer. This man is a musician. And so, okay, George, I'm going to step out now. You're
well,
back
this,
on.
This is fabulous. We actually asked two other questions, and so I'm going to go with them if it's all right with you, Bob.
Sure.
Although the first one may really hold the key to everything. The second question was that if you suddenly discovered that you only had 5 to 10 years left to live, how would that shift what it is that you really want to accomplish, want to do in your life?
With 5 years left to live, I would move to North Carolina, which is the heart of old-time music in the U.S., and I would commit myself to playing music every day of my life.
Wow. That's so wonderful, Bob. Really, really beautiful stuff to hear.
I don't know that we even need the third question.
I'm happy to go either way. My habit is to go to the third one. I'm going to go there.
Go.
And let's see what happens. Bob, the last question, I think you've articulated it. If you suddenly discovered that you only had 24 hours left to live, the question is, what did you miss? Who did you not get to be? Is this the heart of it, what you've already described?
If I had 24 hours left to live, I would spend every waking second of it with my wife, who has been my partner for 31 years and has put up with a lot of me being gone, working two jobs, doing this and everything to make that first goal happen.
Fabulous.
And so it would be spent every second with her.
Well, the question really was, what would you miss if you had to depart in 24 hours? It sounds as if you'd miss your wife as well as the musical career that you weren't able to pursue. And so what I would do as your life planner is, my focus, first of all, would be on how do we get you to North Carolina just as quickly as possible to play that old-time music, to play your banjo and your guitar, and to write. How do we get you there as quickly as possible with your wife? And I would also want to do the same process with her and find out what she really cares about and what she most wants, so that we're working out a plan together. And once we'd figured that out, then we'd figure out how much money that's going to cost, what are the time and money factors there. And then we look at your portfolio and how you're living your life and figure out how we can make that happen. How would that be if we got you to North Carolina in relatively short order?
That would be difficult to do because there's parts of our family that are in their terminal or their latter part of their lives.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be, dependent on that.
Yep.
Right there.
Okay.
And that's just a part that is not negotiable. We're going to be here for them.
Well, we can work on that. Bob, I want to thank you very much for the call.
Sure.
713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. George, any follow-up on on Bob?
Well, I think, you know, right away he was bringing up some of the realities that come up, and they can certainly be parents and relatives that are important to us. And what we would do is we would find out the details of that, and then we'd figure out. We'd be dynamically playing with Bob and with his wife around how can we make this happen just as quickly as possible.
So the ongoing work then of the life planning, financial planning partner would be to work with Bob over time to get him to fulfill this dream of playing performance level music in North Carolina, and working with him over time to arrange his finances so that that becomes possible when other constraints possibly resolve themselves.
Exactly, and it may mean that immediately we find a way for him to play more quality music here where he's living right now. It may mean that we find ways for him to spend a month or two a year in North Carolina in the short run. I mean, you're just playing, you're getting as creative as you can with the ideas to how do you make this happen.
Okay. This is the New Capital Show. I'm Leo Gold, your host, George Kinder, father, really, of the life planning movement in financial advisory, really in the United States and in the world, is my guest today. And next up is Deborah. Deborah, welcome to the New Capital Show.
Oh, good morning. I'm calling to discuss the fact that we have a dream to go and sell all of our possessions and go and sell. But it's conflicting with our youngest child's plans to go to school outside of the state of Texas. And so I would just like to be able to discuss with you how we go about accomplishing both of those goals.
Well, first of all, I just want to really appreciate the wonderful dream you have to go sailing, and how many friends I have. I have friends right now out on the ocean who have dreamed of this all their lives, and now they're accomplishing it and doing it. When you come with something like a child's wish to go to school and how important that is to you, you really need to think wildly and creatively, both with the child and with yourselves, in terms of are there other ways to accomplish the school dreams, having to do with loans and scholarships, having to do obviously with in-state possibilities. Leo, you may have some additional thoughts here because you're familiar with the area. But the other thing is how long would it, looking at what the options are with your youngest child, how long would it keep you from sailing? Is there a way that you could sail for a couple of months in the short run just to get something that really feels like you're beginning to live the dream? So those would be a variety of things that I would think of doing.
Deborah?
Okay, so what I understand you saying then is because our son is looking at going away to school in the fall of 2007, and so we're looking at working an additional 4 years in order to be able to have income in the interim. If we we're looking at scholarships and loans, those types of things, pulling money out of our retirement dollars, because that's what we had always said that we would do for each of our kids. Then we should be looking at finding some way where we can take off for a little bit and go sail as well, in order to tide us over for the next 4 years. Is that correct?
I would certainly be looking at that as one of the scenarios. How can you begin to fulfill that dream right now so that you're really feeling satisfied that you're living a part of that?
Deborah, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you so much. Good day.
713-526-5738 for George Kinder. Next up is Rodolfo. Rodolfo, welcome to the New Capital Show.
All right, thanks for taking my question.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to ask, actually there was a couple questions I wanted to ask, but people kept beating me to it.
Okay.
So I came up with this. Okay, a lot of us listening in are somewhat active in the community. I was wondering if you could maybe give some advice to those activists who need to raise money, you know, because they're old, selling cakes or cookies on the side or washing cars is getting old now. We need to find a new way of bringing in some source of income for the different organizations, whether it be black, brown, progressive, whites, whatever the case may be. That's one question. Second, for beginners, who have no idea on how to buy stocks, how to invest in international funds, or how can we go about doing that?
George, anything here for Rodolfo on Rodolfo? Are you an activist? Is that what you do?
I've been called that, but I try not to be.
But is that your job?
No, it's not my job. No, I have to work for right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what your dream for your life might be?
Yes, sir. Actually, I'm not asking really for myself. I mean, yes, I'm part of it, but I'm asking for the whole, because I know who listens to shows like this. And
uh-huh.
And people, you know, need money for different organizations, whether it be Save Trees or Save the Nation, or whatever the case may be.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Anything here, George?
Well, I think Leo, you're onto it in terms of asking Rodolfo, what is it that you really want? I think that's what life planning is about, is first of all finding what's most profound for you. And this sounds like one of the things, is really helping your community. And it's certainly something that I've been involved with, and people who go through life planning, one of the major responses they have is how they want to give back to the community. And so one of the things that I've done with my clients in that regard is to think kind of outside the box. You've raised the question of how do we raise money. I might be thinking of, are there other ways of getting attention to the issue that would create then more interest in providing money or in providing services in some way? So I don't have a simple answer, because I don't know what the issues or the problems are, but that one of the things that I do is try to gather together people with a similar passion, and all of you together thinking about what are some outside-of-the-box ways of getting people's attention to the issue.
Rodolfo, thank you for the call. What about people who don't know how to invest, George? They need a professional.
They do. And I think the financial planning profession has wonderful outreach programs for people. And I think that searching for a certified financial planner at the websites that they have, the Financial Planning Association websites or the NAPFA website, which is a fee-only organization, or actually perhaps the best of the bunch is the Garrett Planning Network, which works with middle-income clients exclusively. And, of course, there's also, if you want to find a life planner, you can also look at the life planning website.
Give your website, please.
My website is kinderinstitute.com, KINDERINSTITUTE.com.
Okay, back to work. Next up is Teresa. Teresa, welcome to the New Capital Show.
A lot of these callers have taken my thunder. Let me, because a lot of the
Teresa, only you have your thunder.
Yeah, well, they were coming up with points that I want to make, but let me tell you where I am.
We want to hear about you.
Yeah, and you are raising some very, very good questions. Excellent. What I'm about me. I am a college professor, and I teach finance. So from the financial aspect, I've read, I've studied in school and all of that. And so my own success story as far as finance, from where I started and where I am, it is a success. Where I am in my life is that I'm just completely exhausted and burned out of all the information I have gathered and what to do. I did extremely well in the 90s, like a lot of people. And now I'm at a point where those investments aren't doing bad, but they're not doing as good. And I'm just at a standstill where the information at this point is so overwhelming for me that I'm just exhausted in the whole process of figuring out what planner is correct, what information is correct, and what have you. And I think what you were talking about, the mastermind groups coming together and talking, would help me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, what would you advise someone like me that is just totally burned out with information? I call the information overload.
Well, there's a couple of things. I mean, I want to get to the information piece, because I think that's really very important. You're raising a very important issue. But the first question is, you've lived a life that's been successful, that you feel proud of, and that you've really accomplished something.
Yes.
And at the same time, you're at a place in your life where you're feeling burnt out.
Correct.
And so the fundamental question, the first question that has to be addressed before we go to the finance piece, is what do you really want to do with your life? And that question is really addressed best with the three questions. I don't know if you'd be open to looking at those.
And in talking and hearing, you know, with you and processing it myself, I'm at a point where I'm recreating my life. And, you know, one thing would be I would love to work for a foundation because I have a burning desire that fills up my cup is when I help other people.
Yeah.
And
wonderful.
I get a very big thrill of other people achieving their dreams.
Yes.
And so that's where I'm trying to gear myself to.
Yep.
But that's a situation where I feel like you have to be financially somewhat comfortable. And then I have, like the earlier caller, I have a young person that I'm planning her to go to school as well out of state.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I'm in a catch-21.
Well, let me get to the nub of it, if I can, Teresa,
mm-hmm.
with the last two questions, just to ask you, just to test your response here, and that is, if you only had 5 to 10 years left to live, you suddenly discovered that, what would you do with your life? What would be different?
I would work for a foundation.
You would work for a foundation?
Yes.
Okay.
I would love to be a philanthropist. I would work for some major foundation.
Okay, that's how you'd spend the last 5 to 10 years. And then the final question is that if you suddenly discovered you only had 24 hours left to live, the question is not what you'd do with that time. The question is, what did you miss? Who did you not get to be? What did you not get to do? What's most personal there?
And that's hard to answer.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer for that one.
Is there something that brings you to tears there? Something that touches you?
No.
No?
I have to work on that. I don't really have a response to that.
All right. Well, let me just say that my hunch is, just because of your response, because it feels like maybe it's too personal to go there in some way, my hunch is that the real answer to where the focus of the plan might be would be in that place of what did you miss? And that, once again, the person, there are people who are respect privacy and confidentiality, but are really there to help you accomplish, to see how the money can support whatever the answer might be. And so the foundation may be a part of that, how to shift you to a foundation quickly, but there may be something else there.
Teresa,
I'd go there before I would go to the investments.
Okay.
Teresa, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
George, you talk about spirit.
Yes.
What do you mean when you talk about spirit and money, spirit and life?
Well, there's a couple of things. You know, there's this is the 250th anniversary coming up of the birth of William Blake. And William Blake had this theory that was similar to Norwegian mythology of a giant human being kind of falling apart and becoming disorganized. And what's happened because of our relationship with money, is that we all, just as Teresa was talking about feeling exhausted and burnt out, we're all feeling that way a bit. And what happens without really putting this piece together around money, that means that there's a tremendous diminishment of the human spirit as a consequence. And the human spirit has something to do with how we are naturally meant to move in our life. What is it that it's almost destined to fulfill? What is it that is the most fulfilling thing for us? What are we meant to accomplish? How are we meant to be, to live our most authentic life? And when we actually tap into that and find it, and it might be something so personal that we shy away from even talking about it, but if we find what it is and we get support to in fact accomplish it, what happens is that our spirit becomes invigorated and we have this tremendous energy and enthusiasm for moving forward with our life.
Are you living your three questions?
I'm living my three questions. Yeah. Yeah, it's changed my life dramatically. This dealing with the creative side of myself that I had held back for so many years has just unleashed so much freedom inside of me. As you probably know, I'm 58 years old and I have a twin 2.5-year-old daughters. So there are lots of new things happening in my life.
You asked me the three questions back in October.
I did. Yeah.
And it's a profound experience. I can tell anybody out there listening, it's a profound experience to have a person of great integrity and patience ask you those questions and to truly, truly listen to the answers. And that's another thing that's important that you emphasize to advisors who train with you, George, is the need to listen. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, listening skills are the most critical skills in this work of life planning, and there's an overlap there with therapy skills, because those of course are skills that a therapist has as well. But if we can't listen well and give room for the client to speak what it is that they really need to say, the client feels diminished by the experience, and they don't really reveal what's important to them. So in our trainings, I train advisors. The first meeting, it might be a two-hour meeting, where all the advisor does is ask open-ended questions, and so really giving the opportunity for the client to talk about what's really important to them.
So what everyone should understand is we're giving little vignettes, little snapshots, little tastes today of what life planning is like. A real life planning session is a much longer and an intensive thing that goes on. But we wanted everybody to get a feel for that. We've got time for a couple more calls, just a few minutes left in the show. Next up will be Frank. Frank, well, Frank?
Yep.
You there? That was a little noisy. We lost Frank, so let's take Steve. Steve, welcome to the New Capital Show. You're on with George Kinder.
Hi. Okay. I'm like a 24-year-old drummer. I want to tour. I don't have much money. I guess I make maybe like $2,500. Wait, $25,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's not that much money to kick around. But I guess what would you advise?
Well, again, I think the most helpful thing is actually to work with someone to think about what it is, how it is that you want to spend your life. Is $25,000 enough for what you most want to do? I mean, usually if you're doing something creative like drumming, that's really a passion and something that's terribly important. But there may be other things that are there as well, in terms of relationship, in terms of family, in terms of your spirit or your relationship with nature. So I would find someone to actually talk about these issues who would also be very grounded around money, and then to help you to do that work. I mean, the part of what I'm hearing in your question is, do you need to get out and earn a lot more money and save money and invest money? And that's quite possible, but it may be that it's possible that you could also be linking it with the drumming, or that you might choose to make drumming your passion and to follow really whatever came as a consequence of doing that work.
Do you enjoy the work, Steve, the drumming?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That's what I want to do. I just want to kind of travel around and play music and record music and jam.
That's great.
What I love to do.
That sounds wonderful.
That's terrific. And you're
so this isn't just for, like, people who are, like, pretty well off? Like, you can start anywhere?
You can start anywhere, and I think it's really valuable to start anywhere, because otherwise what might happen is something that's really important to you might not be accomplished.
Right.
Yeah.
Steve, thanks for the call. Good luck to
Thank you.
Time for a couple more calls. Janet. Janet, welcome to New Capital Show. You're on with George Kinder.
Good morning. I have a question. How do you get out of a cycle of earning money and then not earning money?
Yeah. I think that that's a really, really good question, and it's a complex question, because it could have to do with something that a pattern that you've picked up and are going through, or it could be just circumstances. So talking with you would certainly help around that. In other words, are there money attitudes that you have that cause that pattern to occur? And I think the second thing is, what do you enjoy about both of those places? Do you enjoy the place of not earning money? Is there something that you're getting from that? And maybe that something is very important, and if we shine a light on it,
and figure out how to get that for you, perhaps in a way that feels healthier to you, how to get those rewards, then that would be one way of approaching it.
Okay.
Anything else, Janet?
No, that was a good answer. Thank you.
Great.
Thanks for your call.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Let's see. Just a couple minutes left. Next up will be, we got two mics. We'll take mic number one. Mike.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi. In reference to some of the calls, I would say that they should just remember what happens when people who can't swim get in deep water. Bad things, and that, yes, we are on the edge of a precipice, and everyone is terrified that China is going to start dumping dollars. And when that happens, oh, Jesus. Oh, Lordy mercy.
Thanks, Mike. One of the things we tried to do on this show is to get people to focus on themselves and their lives. And Mike's call is an example of putting the cart before the horse. We want to make sure that when you think about your financial life, that you put your life in there as well. Right, George? Is that accurate?
That's it. I mean, in a way, Mike's question is a metaphor for that are all of our lives on the edge of a precipice.
Yes.
And we have a choice of living a life that is really fulfilled and complete, where worry is not a big deal, because we're living who we want to be. And that's what life planning is about, finding out how we can do that.
We've got time for one more call. It's going to be Frank. Frank, welcome to New Capital Show.
Hey, thanks a lot, Leo. I really appreciate your show. I'm glad to be here. I got disconnected earlier. It caught me off guard. What I wanted to say real fast was I find this topic extremely interesting and a great diversion from your normal topic. But as of 46...
Frank, let me just...
Yeah.
Real quick. It actually is part of my usual topic. My usual topic is about capital.
Yeah, capital.
And you have no more important form of capital than your own time on Earth.
absolutely. Okay, really quickly, I'll just tell you, as a 40-something guy, I just reached a point about 6 years ago where I was at George's retrospective, very introspective and reflective on what I was doing with my life, where I wanted to be. I wasn't satisfied with working to 65 as the norm of most American lifestyle curriculums. We're actually brought up to believe in this adopting everyone else's way. And I did a very out-of-the-box thing. I sold everything that I had in America, cleaned out all my bank accounts, IRAs, blah, 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 and went overseas and purchased property and have been building a house at the beach. Not far from here, actually. And I'm starting to live my dream. I'm actually very close, within the next 3 years, of completely relocating to a place where I'm actually living my life, not worrying about the income. I don't believe anyone in America will ever actually retire. I think we'll all wind up working. It's just a matter of what we're actually doing for that work.
Frank, I want to thank you very much for your call. George, I'm sure that you appreciate and are very, very happy to see that Frank is feeling happy and encouraged to follow his dream. Both of us congratulate you, Frank.
Yeah, I just want to tell everybody out there the thing that gave me the catalyst.
Real quick, Frank, we've only got about another minute.
You can have whatever you want in life. It's just a matter of what you want to sacrifice to get it.
Thank you.
You bet.
George Kinder, it has been a pleasure to have you on this morning.
Wonderful, Leo. Wonderful to be with you.
I hope that everybody has gotten a flavor for George's life work, which is incredibly important work to bring the idea of putting your life first in your financial plan. George Kinder, again, the website to get to your institute is...
www.kinderinstitute.com.
And you can get to it also through today's entry on newcapitalshow.com. If you go to newcapitalshow.com, there is a link to George's website as well as to George's book. And George, thank you. I wish you well, and I hope to see you soon.
I look forward to it, Leo. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Back next week.
Support. support KPFT in many different ways. Some write checks and others use credit cards, but if you're spinning your wheels looking for a tax deduction, think about donating your working but unwanted car, motorcycle, boat, or truck to KPFT. You'll qualify for a tax deduction and, at the same time, take care of that unfinished business. To make a donation, call our toll-free vehicle donation hotline at 1-877-803-2408. We'll arrange for your vehicle to be picked up and the title transferred. Then we'll send you a receipt for your tax deduction. It's that simple to support the station you've come to rely on for alternative music, news, and public affairs programming. Again, for more information or to make a donation, call our toll-free vehicle donation hotline at 1-877-803-2408. You're tuned in to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston.
And the results were astounding. The documentary will now be airing a year later once again, except this time I am now a physician myself, and I have also recorded a...
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.